The words of Jesus, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the text. You may be seated. Don't those words ring true? In the world you will have tribulation. Three years ago, the first Sunday I got to be with you and stand up and preach, and I asked you a question. The question was, what kind of Savior is he? Looking back over the last 3 years, what kind of Savior has Jesus proven himself to be? One who is with us in the good times, or one who is with us, period. And in that difference is the difference between, and you've heard this phrase before, the difference between happiness and joy, right? Difference between happiness and joy is happiness is a feeling, comes along, and you enjoy it, but it comes and goes. Joy, on the other hand, is something that runs a lot deeper. Another difference, you chase after happiness, will you achieve it? They seem to keep moving the goalposts, don't they? Joy is something that comes along sometimes when you're least expecting it. Joy is rooted deeply. That in mind, the setting of the text, this is spoken between the upper room and the Passover meal, where Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body and this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Between that and when he gets to Gethsemane, where he prays in agony, getting ready to go to the cross, it's spoken between. He knows that there is a time of turmoil, time of tribulation, time of questioning, time of wondering, time of everything and anything you can imagine that was going to sweep over the disciples, and they are not ready for it. Like so many in our day, they were chasing after a different kind of Savior, weren't they? Savior who would bring the kingdom and bring the glory right now and happiness right now and prosperity right now and good things right now. It was not going to be that kind of a Savior, was he? If Jesus gives in to the things that we seem to demand all too often, if he gives in to those things, then he isn't the kind of Savior we need. Because we want a Savior in good times, and we want the good times to keep on going. Problem is, we have the other times. I learned this in a fairly interesting way in a nursing home years ago. I got into the rhythm of being there month by month and preaching. And nursing homes are interesting because, you know, as a pastor, you see the need hanging right out there. There's no hiding it anymore at that age. And so I got used to talking about and talking to the deep concerns that people were sitting there with. One time I tried this and it seemed to go well. Tried it again and again and fell into a bit of a rut, but they seemed to like it. I'd be there saying, you know, and with Jesus, it doesn't matter if your day is fantastic or your day is rotten. He still is the Savior. It doesn't matter if you're in a great mood or if you're in a lousy, sour mood today. It doesn't matter. He still is the Savior. It doesn't change that. And one of the ladies spoke up, right in the middle of the sermon, spoke up. And she said, "So I can be in a really bad mood today?" "Well, yes." And she says, "Well, okay, I feel better then." And she gets this big grin and it continues on. And the thing was, she had heard so many times that to be a Christian, you have to be in a good mood. You have to be happy. You have to be doing good works. You have to be devout and prayerful and full of faith. And she wasn't feeling it. You know how that goes. Wasn't feeling it. And to hear that it's okay. He's still the Savior. It's okay. He's still the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who died and rose, the one who is still Jesus, who is yours and you are his. And it's okay. You don't have to put that load on yourself that you have to be so happy that you could clap your hands and show the whole world, right? You don't have to. And all of a sudden, with that load lifted off, that just made her day. And you realize, going through some of these things with people, that there's the coming and going of happiness, the coming and going of feeling good or feeling okay, the coming and going of being pleasant or not, the coming and going of a life that gets in focus and then it gets all out of focus, the coming and going of things that we think we've got together and then a week later they fall apart. There's all those things. And underneath what remains constant and solid, that's the stuff of eternity. Underneath what remains constant and solid is who he is. He isn't going to change that. And what he's done. It's done, accomplished, finished, given as a gift. You don't have to earn. You don't have to earn Jesus on the cross. How could you ever? You don't have to earn Jesus rising from the tomb. How could you? It's given. And when that is there as something that is given and free, then that just made her whole day. In the same way, in a certain sense, I'm not trying real hard to be a Christian. Okay? Because being a Christian isn't a trying real hard. After that, when I've got the promises from God and I'm going to have to face the testing that happens in this life, and oh boy, does it. Now, after that, here's the thing. Simply trying to hold on and to remember the promises that are given to me, not to make them so, not to make them true, not to claim them as if they weren't mine to begin with, but simply to remember that they're there and that this is the foundation, this holds me and this carries through all of my days. And so like the next time I went to that nursing home, you know, what I said is, you can be having the absolute worst day of your whole life. And having heard from the month before, they're going, yeah. You can have the absolute worst day of your whole life, and it's okay. And then I get a bunch of old ladies smiling, grinning, and yeah, we do get crabby. Yeah. But you look at the text, And what Jesus says, you know, toward the end of the gospel lesson, do you now believe? Oh, yeah. There's an uptime for the disciples. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yeah, and, you know, Jesus can say to us, been there, done that, about nearly everything. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Here's a key point in all of this. My faith does not make him the Savior. I'll say this very carefully. My faith does not make him the Savior. His faith makes him the Savior. This is what Jesus does at that point, is the same thing that he holds out to us. He takes the words and promises and when everything seems to be falling apart and it's all gone off the rails and it's wandered completely from where it should have been, and let's get specific, and there's soldiers arresting you and they're beating you and they jam a crown of thorns on your head. And then they're mocking and spitting at you, and there's a crowd out there yelling, crucify, crucify. That he still holds the promises, still believes that those promises from the Father are his. And then it keeps on going, and there's carrying the cross and being nailed to the thing. And it's the faith of Jesus to stay there. And just to toss this in, you know, as God, the nails couldn't hold him. He could have just gotten right down. He holds the nails. They don't hold him. Because he's holding to the promises. Those promises say that he is to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he's going to hold on to that, the faith of Jesus, holding to the Word of God. That's what is the foundation for everything we have. So to the old lady in the nursing home, or to the young kid that has the pastor pointing at her, yeah, it's okay. The things in life that come and go, the troubles of the soul, the ebb and flow, the rising, the falling of those, of that sense of faith in God, it's okay. Because the Word is still there. The Word is still the promise to you. And you can be having the worst day of your whole life, and yet that Word of God is there. Like Jesus said, yet I am not alone, the Father is with me. That's the foundation. Built on that, then, in me you may have peace. Because it's settled. It's eternal. The forgiveness, the life, the resurrection, the everything that God is to you in Jesus Christ. It's settled. In me you may have peace. Or before, that your joy may be full. And that joy that comes from knowing, well, it's like being the guy that read the last chapter of the book and knows how it's going to end. Not this Sunday, next Sunday we get to read Revelation 22, the last chapter of the book, but we know how it's going to end. When you know, when it is there, when God has promised, and all of the promises bound up in one thing, Jesus dying and rising, and him saying, this is for you. When it's all bound up in that, then you can have joy that smiles at whatever it is that comes along. Later in the chapter in the book of Acts, Acts 16, what happens to Paul? He gets beaten and thrown into jail. And there in jail, what does he do? He sings. He prays. Tells the other prisoners about this Jesus who has, for some reason, put him there so they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's the earthquake and the jailer in the panic. And Paul's saying, don't harm yourself, we're all here. And the jailer, this is arranged by Jesus, isn't it? The jailer gets to hear about the risen Lord and come to faith and live forever. And he continues to do that. Jesus Christ continues to do that. So the Christians in the ancient days in the Roman Colosseum being persecuted and facing actual martyrdom. That's about the worst day of your life, right? Still have Christ who died and rose from the dead. And that is an absolute truth that connects them to all eternity. Because see, if Jesus is eternal and he connects with you and you're connected to him, well, if he's eternal, what does that make you? And that's all we need to say, isn't it? But of course, God will go on and say, not only in the Word, also because I connect my name to your name, baptism, and Jesus, because I give you my body and my blood to be there within you, to connect you to Jesus and Jesus to you in the most intimate way that can be in all eternity. He is making the point of him connecting to you and you connecting to him and him bringing you along through all of this. And that's why the old lady in that nursing home smiled and got that big grin. Because of Jesus. In his name, amen.